You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
.07 and a half on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Christopher D. Simone, Matthew D. Neely, Esquire. If you miss anything, KVY.com. If you missed the last hour with Danny Sawaya or on-air whiskey with Ken Foy at 6:45 from Dante's Fire, who's doing a whiskey dinner Sunday night, go to KVY.com. If you want to find out great places to eat in this town or find out more about this wacky host, dsimonehq.com. If you want to watch Tucson's business leaders praise each other for a town going into the toilet, go to LinkedIn. Remember, on Saturday night, we're doing our amazing fundraiser for Southern Arizona Honor Flight. So today, 4:47 p.m. is when RSVPs close down. You must get in at, just send me an email at wakeuptucson @gmail.com. Tell me your name and how many people are coming. Pay at the door. You can bring your credit cards or checks to pay for raffle items at the event, including a chunk of gold from Tucson Coin and Autograph and a four-course Italian meal for 20 people cooked by CJ Ham and myself. Dinner with Dr. DeFilippo. Bruce just donated a Barry Goldwater class, like a classic Barry Goldwater doll from the 60s, and a bottle of Trump wine, believe it or not, is also. So it's going to be a heck of a night. So 5 o'clock Saturday. Let's go to the phones. Annabelle Rutledge is on the phone, and she's driving around in a giant bus. Annabelle, Concerned Women for America. What's up, young lady?
Hi there, Chris. So glad to be on with you this morning.
As we say in Kindergarten Cop, who is Annabelle Rutledge and what do you do?
I love it. Well, I am the executive director of Concerned Women for America, and we are the nation's largest public policy women's organization. So we are actually a group of Christian conservative women who actually know what a woman is. Imagine that. And we have it on the back of our bus that we're going around the country with. It says, honk if you know what a woman is. And we are rolling into Tucson. And so we are excited to be here and to engage with the largest demographic of voters in the country, which is women. We know that women turn out at the polls more than any other demographic of people. And we want to make sure that the base is energized, that people understand how critical it is to not just vote, but to make sure your friends are voting, your neighbors are voting, that the people at your churches are voting, and that we are all being active instead of passive participants in this election as poll workers, poll watchers, whatever that might look like. So that is our purpose in going around the country in this big pink bus.
The women of America that you're trying to reach out to, is it something where we know that women are a large voter base, but at the same time, do we feel that the women you're reaching out don't vote as much, aren't aware? Why now, and why this group of people?
Gosh, well, why now? I mean, we say it every time, right?
That I know what you're going to say.
Election, but it is the most critical election. And, you know, I think American women, I think people in college, students in college, I think moms who are watching their kids be indoctrinated at school, single moms who are having to put food back on the shelves, it's becoming very evident the juncture that we are at and how critical this is for each individual person. And so we just want to make sure, you know, we have to be honest about the fact that there are some conservatives even that are a little bit disenfranchised, and maybe they're watching what's going on, and it can be really easy to feel like my vote doesn't matter, or to just get busy and forget to vote and forget to engage with your church, forget to have those conversations. And the only way to make a turnaround, to make sure that we can have another opportunity at getting back to the principles that make this nation great, is to make sure that we're all out and voting. And so we don't want to, you know, get to November and not have done everything in our power to make sure that people are involved and they're at the polls and making sure that their deeply held beliefs are being represented.
So the Democrat Party, especially in Arizona, but overall across the country, including the presidential race, is saying the only thing you need to worry about, you don't have to worry about evasions at the border. You don't need to worry about war abroad. You don't need to worry about how you're running up your credit cards because you can't afford to pay for your kids' stuff anymore. They're telling you that it's all about abortion. Abortion, abortion, abortion. So talk about the abortion issue. How does it really play amongst women? Is it really the most important thing for the voting woman is abortion?
You know, I think the reality of where we stand with everything going on with the switch of the candidates and the issues that are being highlighted, whether people want to talk about it or don't want to talk about it, there really isn't a choice at this point. Abortion is becoming, to your point, a focal talking point of the progressive left right now. And I don't think that conservatives can shy away from that. And even when we look at the midterms, that was a huge thing that brought people to the polls. And during the midterms, the left outspent 11-1 on messaging on that issue. And it is critical, right? I mean, there's all kinds of things that bring people to the polls. And for each individual person, it might be a different thing, but it usually comes back to their very personal, deeply held beliefs. And for a lot of people, wherever you fall, whatever side of the issue you fall on, it's personal to people. And so while I don't think it's the only issue, I mean, you know, you're in Arizona. I grew up in California. I mean, the border is a huge problem. We at Concerned Women for America believe in national sovereignty, and part of that is having borders. You know, we believe that people need to be able to feed their families and be present. We believe that our education system needs to be one that's not full of propaganda and indoctrination. And also, for a lot of people who believe in the sanctity of life, that's something that will bring them to the polls. And if it's going to be a focal point, let's make sure that we're messaging on it correctly.
I think in Arizona, and I don't know how it is in other states, for Arizona, especially because there's a shot that Republicans could lose the legislature this year, it's pretty tight. Academic freedom is also a big issue that we're starting, that I think is an issue for a lot of moms. How are you? What's your take on academic freedom in relation to, do these moms get it? Do they need to be reminded? Tell me about education.
Yeah, I mean, we believe in parental choice in education, and I think post-2020 and everything that happened with COVID, there's been a huge wake-up. No matter what side you vote on, moms, parents in general are waking up to the reality that school and education is not just a one-size-fits-all. And I think representatives, any candidates who are running, need to understand that specializing education and figuring out what works for individual kids and what that looks like, and parents being involved in what their parents are being, in what their kids are being taught, is extremely critical and important. And I know in Arizona, you all passed a bill, and I'm trying to think of the exact name of it, but it was...
Yes, it's ESAs.
The ESAs, yes. And I know that there's been a lot of success stories from what's happened in Arizona. I know there's been a lot of success stories in Iowa as well. And so I do think education is such a critical issue. I live in Virginia now, and definitely in the past 3 years, parents have woken up. I mean, everything that happened here in Loudoun County with the school systems, the lid has been taken off, kind of, and parents have a look into what's going on in their schools and what their kids are being taught and what their kids need from the school system. And it's a huge issue. Parents care about their kids. They want to make sure that their kids are going to have every opportunity afforded to them and that they're going to be ready to take on the world. And so it's, you know, it's a personal issue for parents.
So we know the big bus is coming to Tucson. When's it going to be here?
Yes, it is actually there today. I have not met up with it yet. They're meeting with a couple different pregnancy resource centers today. And then we will be hosting our big Get Out the Vote event tomorrow evening at Masterpiece Event Center in Tucson at 5:30 p.m. And we would welcome anyone to come join us. We've got awesome partners coming out from Hands of Hope locally, a local church, Calvary Tucson, our friends and partners, Patriot Mobile. We're featuring some of our Young Women for America leaders in the state of Arizona. And so it's going to be an awesome time and a great opportunity with lots of resources to help people get involved and take back to their communities with them.
I'm trying to figure out where the Masterpiece Event Center is. So just so I'd let people know.
If I had the address at the top of my head, I would rattle it off for you. But you can go to concernedwomen.org and go to our She Prays, She Votes webpage, where you can find links to every single event in each state that we've been having, including Arizona.
Gotcha. Okay. Like I said, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just never heard of the Masterpiece of it.
1145 East Fort Lowell.
1145 East Fort Lowell. I love it. And that's tomorrow at 5:30 to 7 o'clock.
Correct.
So, awesome.
We'd love to have anyone join us.
All right. Well, I hope you're successful because one of my friends once told me that his wife is the scariest voter he knows because she gets all of her information from the Today Show. So
that does sound scary.
Yes. So keep up the good work and keep working, Annabelle. And it was good talking to you. And hopefully we'll have a few of our wakies out there to support you guys.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Chris.
All right. Have a good day. Annabelle Rutledge, Concerned Women for America. Speedway and Swan playlist. This is Mr. Toby Keith. Rest in peace. It's called Bullets in the Gun. Wake up. I think one of my favorite things to watch for between now and December 30th, right, is watching the people that work at the that support the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, who are all usually white people, trying to do like rapper gang stuff. It's the So I just saw this Ben put, and I like Ben Chulik. He's a very nice man. But they were at some thing at Marana, right? And watching all the white people do their rapper thing. This is going to be my favorite trend, is watching. It's a little bit of appropriation, but just basically white folks with no groove trying to do the rapper thing.
Okay.
I mean, you can see one guy in this picture is just the best. You can see he's doing the crossed arms. He's got a little bit of a hook 'em horn thing. He's looking off to the right going, what am I doing?
Getting into the spirit of it. Getting into the spirit of the Snoop Dogg gin and juice bowl.
I got to save this picture. Hold on. This is too good. It'll be my gallery. I'm telling you. I don't know if they've had their kickoff lunch or not, but I almost want to just get in there with it, or at least I don't need to be there. I just get to send a photographer to watch all the white people trying to act like Snoop. AZ Bowl. I'm trying to posers. That's what'll be my posers. That's gold. Whew. Thank you for that little giggle, Ben. You the man. I still don't know what a Masterpiece theater is, but we'll get there. Let's get this one off the charts. Pima County actually did a post. The new cooling center on the west side just got a donation of 116-pound bags of ice, and then they had to tell you that's 1,600 pounds, by the way. Was that a TUSD translation like DeSimone does? They had to tell you that 116 pounds of bags, 116 pound bags of ice is 1,600 pounds? Is that what they had to do?
Well, at least they got it right. I mean, give them some credit.
But we don't have a freezer. So if you want ice, come and get it. First come, first serve. Get them before they just become bags of water.
What?
And they're teaching, you know, chemistry, going between phases. Solid to liquid.
Let's do, I didn't get to do holidays at the end of last hour, so I got 30 seconds here. International Left-Handers Day.
Yay!
Southpaws, as
Lefties
we like
unite.
To say. Now, I guess they used to call them Southpaws because by so the way baseball fields the would basically go in one direction, and so the lefty would always have their, they'd be on the south kind of point, their left hand would point south, supposedly,
okay,
in relation to the orient, not that orientation, of the baseball field.
Makes sense.
It's National Filet Mignon Day.
Okay.
I have not used filet mignon for the new athletic director at the U of A. But she'll take a picture of herself with the filet mignon. She seems to take more. You know, it's funny. During the Arizona Athletics history of Dave Hickey, he was in three pictures for the 5 years he was there. She's been in about 72%. She really, I love self-love. It's good. It's good. It's National Prosecco Day.
Bingo.
Can't beat a little Prosecco. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, the Speedway and Swan playlist today. Heller, in honor of Snoop Dogg, the bowl will be called, the new bowl game will be called the Moral Hazard Bowl. Zinger. Let's get Windows XP on the line. Windows, what's going on, dude?
Down there. Did park and tried to get to Irvington, and I erred really bad, and I've literally spent a half an hour just trying not to get T-boned and killed, and it's just,
absolutely.
Lord. But I got a joke for you.
Yes.
I got a joke for you.
Yes.
I might have already told it, but what's Irish and sits out all night, Chris?
Does Matt need to be on the bump?
No.
Okay. What's Irish and sits out all night? What's
patio
that?
Patio furniture.
Oh, look at that. I'm going to give you like I'll give you a little one on this one. Zinga. Okay.
Thank you. Now, you could play any 38 special, too, for the Swan thing.
Well, the good
and
thing.
I want to talk about that, Chris. I thought it was 180. Now it's 197. I don't know.
It's a lot of reload,
and dude, they got Uzis.
So here's the thing. The city hasn't done any sort of press conference or anything about this, right?
Of course not.
So you would think that for the neighbors in that area, after somewhere between 180 and 200 bullets were fired in one event, that you might want to come out and go, "Hey, here's the story." Is it going to, you know, it's, we're trying to, that doesn't happen again soon. Any of that stuff, but I don't think it's coming.
Well, Chris, when you were talking about earlier, I was just picturing the movie Terminator.
Yes.
When they show the future and all the robots are going around just shooting everybody. That's pretty much what it was like. But this one,
so
I don't know,
here's,
man.
Here's the other thing.
That's
so,
a lot of reloading.
Well, I think there was a lot of people shooting. It wasn't just
true. So was it like a 35-minute gunfight?
Well, I think you might have had 10 or 20 on one side against 10 or 20 on the other side. That's what I think you had. This is like the Sharks versus the Jets with guns.
And
no dancing.
The G.I. Joe metaphor, the G.I. Joe comparison was just, I actually watched that in college for stress relief.
I watched Painting with Bob Ross for stress relief in college. So
Chris, can we just call it an even 200?
You know,
197 just sat. I mean, that's a lot of little. They put those little yellow little things down for every casing.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm not buying it.
I think AI did it. What do you think?
I don't think about
any legs to my conspiracy theory.
It's too for you, Chris. We'll call it 200 bullets from now on.
Okay. 200 pieces of lead.
That's again. Hey, and, we've had some crazy things in this community, right? There was that guy who got shot. Matt was talking about it near Glen and Fort Lowell area around Country Club, right? Because Ed Alexander was. We were talking
there
on the phone. He lives in that neighborhood. And he literally said the bullets were so loud, he felt like he had to stay low in his house, right? And then when he kind of, then I guess he went over, and he couldn't believe, this is post-shooting, how much blood was all over the street over there. It was like something out of a bad zombie movie. That's how bad the blood was over there.
Hey, and concerning the competition on the airwaves, don't use his name anymore, because that guy just rags on Quick Trips all the time. But he still goes in there and uses them, Fort Lowell and Oracle, so you know who I'm talking about. And there's only two types of New Yorkers, Chris.
Yes, sir.
The New Yorkers I like and the New Yorkers I dislike. And he's the latter. So I wouldn't give him any more. And he even got bumped. He even got bumped. And I actually tried to call in there a long time ago. And I'm telling you, Mark Levin's screen caller is nicer, and that guy's pretty mean.
Well, so, again, I just brought it up because there were certain Republican candidates that run to his hide behind his skirts, right? And it's not the only thing that you need to do to make things happen.
Well, his security back there, they dropped Quick Trip because Quick Trip wouldn't let him be aggressive enough. And they still come in there and use the bathroom. Every time I see him, I call him his Praetorian Guard. And I don't even think they get what I'm saying. But
well, I mean, so, you know, his two girlfriends, Wadsack and Kathleen Wynne, went down both like went down pretty bad. And they were always running to his skirts. And so,
but I'll tell you what. Say what you want about Wadsack, but, man, she has got one hell of a head of hair.
Oh, the hair is definitely very,
hair is
very,
everywhere,
very,
dude.
Very luxurious.
Very Medusa-like.
So,
but anyway, and I like the cut of the jib of the lady that was just on. I was going to call in because I had a question about being a poll watcher, because I actually had someone that was going to be, they're getting a mail-in ballot. They're Green Valley and they're Michigan and Arizona, but they now have a Michigan residency, but they're getting their mail-in ballot, but they want to be a poll watcher down here. And I told her, I think you can, but Chris, do you know anything about that? Can you be out of state and be a poll watcher? Because I'm thinking of doing it too.
My to be a poll watcher in another state, I'm not sure. It doesn't sound copacetic, but you never know.
Yeah, it kind of sounded 50-50 to me too, Chris. But anyway,
before you go, our Second Amendment expert Charles Heller texted me, 180 bullets is only 6 mags. 200 is 7 mags, because a handgun would only hold 14 mags. So
you know what, Chris? I had a copacetic moment, too, because I was going down Benson Highway down here, and he was on doing an ad for Westward Look, and I was Aho Bikes was right there beside me, and I thought, oh, that's pretty poetic.
Absolutely.
Since you're one of his sponsors, though. And I love all you guys, and I love Cave. I love riding by the old station where it still has the burned-in voice and stuff. So, but anyway, that's all I got. It's just raining and sunny, and you know what they say, when it's sunny and it's raining, the devil's kissing his wife.
Oh my Lord, I've learned so much in this whole
That's an old one.
All right, as we like to say in the Burns and Allen show, say goodnight, Gracie.
All right, God bless, Godspeed.
All right, have a good day, my friend. Real quick, my boy Mark, one of our great listeners, this is from the first hour rant where I was telling you that the LD17, Legislative District 17 Republicans, are going to vote to see if they endorse certain Republican candidates at their meeting this Saturday, which is angry boomers off the rails, just to let you guys know that. Hey, Chris, please correct me if I'm wrong. My memory may be off on this. This has to do with the in-house battle of the Arizona Republican Party. Didn't the MAGAs walk away from McSally and we got Sinema rather than Kelly? Well, we got Sinema and then Kelly. All right, and then Kelly. Yeah, we got Sinema, then Kelly, the way you wrote it. Then the Rhinos and Moderates walked away from Kerry Lake and we got Hobbs. This is absolute insanity. Get it together, people. Thanks for a great show, Mark. So in the end, what Mark is saying is correct, but at the same time, as Republicans, we have to take responsibility for that, right? As the voters who didn't vote or did vote or whatever. But the candidates also have to take responsibility for stop being jerk stores, right? Martha McSally was a horrible candidate. Just a toilet face of a candidate, right? Just no personality, nothing. She hated running, you could tell. Screwed up in debates, right? And then Carrie Lake's just always angry all the time. So the candidates themselves have to take responsibility also, just to let everyone know. Let's go to break. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Ted Maxwell's coming up on Jump in Tucson in about 24 minutes. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Dan Shearer, Hank Amos, and Libertarian Kindness and Understanding Hour on Wednesday. Wake up. A little Commodores to finish the Swan and Speedway playlist. We got to go right to the phones. We got our friend Stephen Levine, RJP Planning. Stephen, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Not too bad. What's been going on with you since I talked to you last?
I just signed up to coach pitch baseball.
Okay.
My 6-year-old, so I'm excited about that, yeah.
I did coach pitch. I coached a lot. It's just so tough because if you're actually pitching as the coach, you feel so bad if you can't give the kid a good pitch.
I've been practicing on my fastball. Would that be a bad look if I strike them all out?
Yes. I felt like I was, I wanted to make it challenging, but at the same time, I'm just throwing crap in the dirt. You know, and I'm just
I know. And everybody's looking at you, all the parents, and they're like, this guy stinks.
Do you guys have a machine? Because I know some of them do the machine now. Like the little,
don't do that anymore.
Okay.
When I was growing up, we had the machine for a little bit, but now it's coach pitch and then straight to kid pitch. T-ball, coach pitch, kid pitch.
Yeah, when I was playing, we went from T-ball first year, and then you went right into kid pitch the next year. So there was no dad pitch in those days or parent pitch.
So it was a different time back then.
It was. We'll get it one day. I've learned from you in all our discussions that the will is a admission ticket to probate court. So explain to people that if they're just sitting on a will right now, this is somehow, just having a will is somehow a good thing to do right now.
Yeah, so I mean, if you go back a century, 100 years, wills were really the centerpiece of any estate plan. Like anything, you know, estate planning's evolved, laws have changed, estate planning laws have changed, both federal, state, tax policies have changed. So that's a big misconception. Wills don't avoid probate. Wills are better than nothing, but the whole purpose now is to avoid probate. And so you need a certain specific estate planning documents in place to avoid probate. And unfortunately, a will doesn't cut anymore. So I think movies have played a role in misconceptions. Like you see movies with, Knives Out, other movies where they have like the dramatic reading of the will scene for the uber wealthy. And you're thinking, oh, you know, I need a will. That's, you know, they're going to read it. And that's can be further from the truth. So a will does not avoid estate planning or does not avoid probate. Probate is basically, hey, we were doing public inventory of all of your assets. Anybody can contest it. There's like 20,000 plus pending probate cases waiting to see a judge. It's been piling up since COVID. So having a will, yeah, that's good if once you get in front of a judge, but why not avoid that whole line in the beginning, by having the right ducks in a row? Plus, while your family's waiting to see a judge or waiting for probate, all of your assets are frozen. Who's going to be able to access bank accounts to pay the mortgage or taxes or bills? It's going to be coming out of somebody's pocket.
I can't believe a bad Hollywood script writing trope has affected so much bad decisions when it comes to planning your estate and beyond, but it's one of the classics.
Well, I mean, it makes for good drama on TV.
Absolutely. Something my brother and I run into in the blue chip planning world is that people think they have to be wealthy to do estate planning. We're not going to blame the media for that one, are we?
I mean, it it's not their fault. I mean, they're covering these stories, but, you know, when they're covering, you know, Michael Jackson, Prince, some of these really high profile famous people, I mean, that's just kind of goes hand in hand, and you start kind of associating, oh, you know, uber wealthy, trust, you know, like it was, I think I saw a documentary about a Doberman or a Rottweiler got like $10 or $100 million estate. They did the reading of the will and the dog got everything. What we're looking at now is, especially in Arizona, every state has different thresholds for probate. So we're in the state in Arizona that has really, really low thresholds. What a threshold means is what can trigger probate. Some states are different. Some states are higher. Arizona is $75,000. So if you have $75,000 or more in personal assets, that means bank accounts, personal content. If you have a house, if you own a house more than $100,000, those are all thresholds that can trigger probate. So that's not for the uber wealthy. Anybody that's a homeowner, you could be middle class, even lower class. I mean, homes these days are going to be more than $100,000. That alone can put you in the probate category. So it's not just for the uber wealthy. It's really for everybody.
Well, again, this is why it's essential to have a guy like Steven in your, on your side on this. The estate planning is essential for everybody, not just the wealthy. And Steven's going to lay out exactly what you're going to need. But a question I have for you, I remember in the old days at Barnes & Noble, they used to have estate planning kits like on a rack. It was like your do-it-yourself estate planning. Talk about being the amateur doing that compared to having an expert like you on their side.
Like the Estate Planning for Dummies book.
Yes,
I think I actually had all those books. I had a whole library of the for dummies. Yeah, it's, you know, it's, I always kind of use the analogy, if I'm not an electrician, I'm not going to try to rewire my house. So I'm going to cross the wires and burn the whole house down. Don't try to do it yourself, especially with estate planning, with trusts. Every state's different. Different laws, unless things are done 100% correct with the do-it-yourself plan, they can be invalid in court. The language doesn't meet the legal requirements. Everything's open for interpretation, so you might as well not even do it. So spend a little bit of extra money, get it done right the first time. Also, with some of these online websites, they offer, you know, hey, if you let us do a template for you, you get the first year free services. The problem is that nobody needs to rework or revise a trust in the first year. Usually it's, you know, 5 or 10 years down the road, something major happens with the family. So yeah, and a lot of these companies always have a disclaimer too that has a word of caution about using these templates, because they know they don't want to be held liable when it doesn't hold up in court.
So we know a will alone as a standalone is not enough. We know that estate planning is not just for the wealthy. So specifically working with RJP and a guy like you, Steven, what exactly are they going to need and get and, you know, do and work with you to accomplish to make sure all the bases are covered?
Yeah, so first we're going to sit down for just a quick interview, find out, do you need a trust? A living trust is what we're implementing to avoid probate. That's the tool that we're using. We're going to ask questions, you know, about your finances, about your estate. Do you meet those thresholds, which most people do, the $75,000 you know, net worth or $100,000 home. Then what we're going to do is we're going to put together a trust. We're going to make sure you have who you want your trustees or executors to be. We're going to draft out the beneficiaries. And then I think the two other most important things that we also include in the package are power of attorney documents. That means trust is after death. Those are the rules that how does your estate distribute it after death, make sure there's no probate, making sure there's a point person, there's no argument, no contestation. They also have the documents that are what happens if you're still alive, but if you're incapacitated, you can't make your own decisions. That's when we're going to have the documents in there that say, who are you putting in charge to make decisions based on your medical needs and also financial? Who's going to pay your bills, your taxes, maintain your estate while you're alive? And then the last thing that we offer that's, to me, is the most important is what we call our settlement support package. Your family can talk to us. You can talk to us at any time. It doesn't cost money. We do free consultations. It's a hand-holding service. If you and your spouse pass away, your executor, the kids, they can call us. They can say, hey, guys, we want to sit down with you in person on Zoom, hold our hands, give us guidance. What do we do? Where do we start? And so to me, that's really the most important.
All right. So if you're 60 years older, if you're at least 60 years, me talk good. If you're at least 60 years old, call RJP Estate Planning to take advantage of the August discount on a comprehensive estate plan that includes a living trust. Call 520-441-4523, 520-441-4523. And for RJP Estate Planning, call this number by Thursday to schedule your free consultation with Stephen. That's 520-441-4523. All right, my friend. Thanks for the good knowledge as always, and good luck pitching to the 6-year-olds.
Yeah, will do. I might have to hit a few batters if strategy calls for it.
Not on purpose, but they're going to have to learn. You're going to get hit once in a while.
No, we'll have fun. We're excited. We have walkout music, so each kid gets to pick their own track.
All right, so impromptu question for Stephen. What would be your walk-up music?
Me personally?
You personally. You personally.
Oh, man, I haven't thought about that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe some AC/DC, some Queen, something to pump us up.
I can see Levine walking up to Hell's Bells. That's what I can say.
There you go. So. Yeah.
All right, that's going to be your new that's going to be your new intro music when you come on next month. I'm going to have Matt play Hell's Bells for you.
Perfect. I'm gonna hold you to it. I'm gonna get jacked up too. Yeah, I'm gonna be screaming fun.
All right, my friend. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Little Hell's Bells. This is your walk away music now. All right.
You ready?
All right, sir. Have a good day.
All right, you too, Chris. Bye.
That's Stephen Levine, RJP Estate Planning. 520-441-4523. Ted Maxwell's coming up on Jump In.
It's a good one to go out to today on the Speedway and Swan soundtrack.
Tomorrow, the great Dan Shearer. Oh, we'll get him all riled up about Monica Dangler talking about going after race. Well, talking about racism and classism and man, I don't know. I'm so confused. Hank Amos, Real Estate Report. We haven't had Hank on in a long time. And then the Libertarian Kindness, Appreciation, and Group Hugging Hour. So you're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice.